from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. The vibes are great on a Friday. Huge, huge Friday here in Sacramento. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Tortured Poets Department is out. Taylor Swift's most recent studio album. That's what we're breaking down all day. A huge day inside.
We're becoming Swifties. We're having t-shirts made. I think we're all hopped up. So I did, it's Donut Friday. I brought in donuts like always, not realizing that everyone in the building is not here today. They're out doing like a river cleanup, right?
Yeah. They're out as part of our one thing. At Odyssey. Yep. If a million people do one thing, we've done a million things. So park cleanup is Odyssey's one thing.
And Kyle and I do not get to participate in the park cleanup, even though it pains us to not participate, because they schedule these things every time right in the middle of our show. So
yeah,
high five to Kyle.
No, I'd be out there if we get, like, literally, if our show started at noon, I'd be out there for a little bit.
Okay.
But we're here and there's nothing, like,
now we're just here with two dozen donuts.
Here's the other thing. If this was the middle of June.
Oh yeah.
And not the, let's see, quick math, 8.5 hours before the Kings tip off to play for their playoff lives in New Orleans, a team that they're 0-5 against this year. Mm-hmm. If this was the middle of June and there's just not a lot happening, then yeah, maybe we throw a best of show together and we go out there and we're part of Odyssey's one thing.
Yeah.
Alas, we weren't throwing you a best of show on the day of the
biggest day of the year for the Kings.
Biggest game of the year for the Kings hopefully until the next one.
Yeah.
This is certainly the biggest game of the year to this point. And it tips off at 6:30 tonight. It's Smoothie King Arena. It's Smoothie King. It's so bad in New Orleans. I have a question.
Uh-oh.
I'm asking. Because I don't believe I've been given the permission structure by this team to do this.
Okay.
We have time and time again gotten where, oh, hey, really good game, really good performance. Oh, they're coming around a little bit, and then they face plant. But I kind of think they're winning tonight.
I thought you were going to hit me with a hard-hitting question, Kyle.
No.
Like, if you were a Smoothie King smoothie, what flavor would you be?
No, this is not Finals Media Day. This is not All-Star Media Day. No.
Damn
it. I just can't. I can't think.
I'm not saying it out loud. You can say
they
it,
they definitely
Kyle.
Shouldn't. Like, they shouldn't. They're 0-5. The Pelicans are a terrible matchup. This is a bad spot for the Kings. They got to go on the road.
Yeah.
Against a team that now has a rallying point. Zion Williamson out, by the way.
Yeah.
That's been confirmed.
I think I've heard that.
Yeah. Zion Williamson not playing. They have a rallying point. They've lost a couple in a row. Their team that was battling for the sixth seed, they tricked off the final regular season game of the season against the Lakers. Mm. They had Zion get hurt, and it looked like they were going to beat the Lakers. Now they go into this game against this team that they're 5-0 against. The Pelicans have every reason to feel supremely confident, and I'm sure they do. In the time they played the Kings this year without Zion Williamson, they were up 50.
Oh, 50.
But I'm a vibes guy.
Okay.
And the vibes with Sacramento are very, very good. Best they've been all year, in my opinion.
I agree with you. Like, look, when you're coming off of... We always talk about this theory, right? Like, like one win can turn everything around, right?
Yeah.
All you got to do is win one, and you know, that's what you're searching. When you're struggling, and you just need to get over the hump, it doesn't matter who it is. And then they did that in the final game of the season against the Blazers. And I saw in that game, I was watching him, and I was like, this looks like a machine. Like, I know the Blazers aren't any good at all. Like, not good at all. They're not even good when they bring the other seven guys. They actually know how to play basketball. They're still not good. But I was watching the Kings, and I'm like, this is what Mike always talks about. It doesn't matter what the other team looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about you. Mm-hmm. Like, the Kings have to worry about the Kings. They don't have to worry about the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching them against the Blazers, I was like, huh, it sure does seem like everything is crisp. Everything looks right. Everything, mm-hmm. like the way that they're playing mm-hmm. is really tough. And then we get to the game against the Warriors. And I thought to myself again, like, if they look like this, they not only could beat the Pelicans, but game on for a 7-game series against OKC. But it's just, that's always the question, like, can one game turn the tide? Can one game put you on a new path? And if that's what's happening here, then I'm here for it because I think it'll be fun to watch. I'm excited about watching this game tonight. I'm excited that there's a possibility of a 7-game series against the Thunder. I think that they can beat the Thunder because they've proven that they can beat the Thunder this year. And even the one game that late in the season that they lost was like, I didn't even really feel that that was even that big of a
loss. Okay, but by that logic, then you think they're losing tonight. Well, James Hamm of the Kings beat says the Kings are losing tonight. That's what you just said.
I'm like a coin flip.
You're confident because they have beat the Thunder twice. You're confident that they can beat them 4 out of 7 times. But they've lost to the Pelicans 5 times. Ipso facto, you think the Kings are losing.
No,
if that's how we're doing it.
I don't know. I don't know. And that's what I keep telling everybody. Like, I'm not going to make a prediction.
I've got a feel on this one.
I've
got a feel.
This team, like this specific group, I have no idea.
We'll talk a little bit more about this later on. But sometimes you can go to the sports books.
Mm.
And you can look at the sports books and you can try and glean something from it. Okay? Not all the time. And sports books are wrong. Like, sports books lose sometimes.
Yeah.
But also they win a lot. There's a reason there's so much money coming in for advertising with these books because A, they have the money to push a bunch of advertising, but B, they want to push a bunch of advertising to get a bunch of people in so they can make more money off those people.
Mm.
And so I went today, I went and looked because the line first came out and the Kings were favored.
1.5.
Favored by 1.5. And I thought, okay, well, that'll change at some point. No. No, it has. I'm sorry. The Pelicans, -1.5 now.
Oh.
The Pelicans now -1.5, according to BetMGM.
Okay.
That feels like a trap to me. That feels like, because again, we got to go casual better. That's who we're talking about. Is going to look and go, oh, well, the Pelicans are really good. The Pelicans, they should have beat the Lakers. Man, and then they're going to do some quick research and they might like, oh, they're 5-0 against the Kings this year. Oh, -1.5. Give me that. They basically just have to win. It's basically a money line, -1.5. Theoretically, they could win by one and you lose that wager, but that feels like a trap to me.
Yeah, I could see where you're going with this. I could even see that the reason why it was 1.5 to start was to would sort of like backload the bet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it does switch up, they've got all this other money already in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look, I don't think anyone knows. Like from top to bottom, there's not a player, a coach, like there's not a referee that knows. And I'm going to keep coming back to this. I think it's the one good thing about this. It's a flat out coin flip. And like there is not going to be like, again, you take Zion out of the conversation. I don't think we're going to see a bunch of egregious fouls. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see a bunch of foul trouble at all.
Nope.
I think this is going to be physical. It's going to be a game where like there could be fights where like the two teams going at it. And like, look, the more physical team, the team that comes out and punches first in the first quarter, and mm-hmm. the team that comes out at a halftime and like sort of imprints their game, mm-hmm. imprints their will on the other team, that's the one that's going to win. You know, and I think it easily could be the Kings, but I'm not choosing that team. Like, I've learned my lesson with this group particularly.
I think... not making an official prediction yet. We have stuff.
Kyle's
to talk
still
about
feeling
first.
It. He's feeling it.
No, it's just vibe. It's all a vibe. Like that's what it is. And we'll get into some of the matchups and stuff, and we'll talk about some of the injury stuff, and you know how this year has gone. But I can't shake this feeling that the Kings are just playing their best basketball right now. I think they are relishing in a way this year. They're relishing the kind of underdog mentality in a way that's, hey, we've fallen in. It's different than last year. Last year was, oh, we're the underdog. Well, hey, we're not getting any respect. We're not getting, we're the three seed. We're in the playoff. Where's the respect? Whereas this year, I think there's a recognition of, nah, we dug this hole. We dug a hole.
Yeah.
And then we fell in it. And now we have to fight our way out of this hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a key difference in mindset. And a key mental switch that gives me more confidence that they can go into this game against a team they're 0-5 against. I'm going to keep bringing that up. What would we say? 96-point differential in the five games?
Yeah.
That's tough. But I don't think I don't think they're looking at it like this. I think they're going to look at their most recent game on April 11th and go, okay, we lost that game by 12. But that's not an insurmountable deficit. In the NBA, they didn't lose five times by 30 where you go, man, there's just nothing. They're going to look at that tape from April 11th. And in a 12-point game, there are small adjustments you can make. Maybe the Pelicans just miss a couple of more shots.
Mm.
And now all of a sudden, it's a two-possession game. So I think that this is a closer matchup than the score lines would indicate from this season, even though we're going to take the most recent games as a sample.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it. A lot of those games were in the first half of the year. A lot of those games were before the Kings started playing really well. And the Kings down the stretch didn't play great, but they play a different brand of basketball now that I think gives them a real chance to go into New Orleans tonight and win.
No, I think you're right about that, but I would also caution that like they had an opportunity that in a big game, in a game that mattered a lot, like 2 weeks ago, and they couldn't take this team down. And so, and again, Zion was there, and that does change everything for them.
Sure. And Brandon Ingram was not.
Yeah, and this also, I think at this point, we're also seeing that, you know, that Keon is more comfortable in his role.
Yes.
That some of the
yeah, even over just the last week.
Yeah, the group of players that they have that are playing, you know, Mike is shrunk the rotation down to like, you know, realistically like 7.5 men.
Mm-hmm.
And we might see 8, we might see 9 tonight, but I don't know. If they don't have to play other players, they're not going to. This is going to be a lockdown game where everyone is hyper-focused. And, you know, and I think, to be honest, the Kings have as much experience or more than most of the Pelicans outside of CJ. So, like, hey, like, this is a coin flip game, honestly. I think we see 1.5 one way, 1.5 the other.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's a coin flip.
My goal by the end of this show is to convince you to say the Kings are going to win. That's the goal today. We'll get started next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I had the right button turned on, James.
Uh-oh.
I'm nailing it so far. We're hiccup-free.
Hiccup-free?
Hiccup-free. First segment.
First segment down.
I'm going to put on a whiteboard, segment since our last mistake. Technical mistake. I'm going to make mistakes and stuff I say all the time, but...
Technical
mistakes of trying to do the jobs of two people while also hosting a show. Want to remind you, no Purple and Black pregame show. That's the little pregame show that James and I do before Kings games. No Purple and Black pregame show because tonight at 4, after D'Lo and KC show is over, we'll talk about D'Lo and KC in a second.
Mm-hmm.
We've got NBA play in action. Elimination game. Bulls Ooh. At Heat. That is going to be a rock fight. And I am so excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
If the Pelicans were playing any other team, I would be more excited for the Bulls Heat game than I am for the Pelicans game.
Okay. I like this matchup. I think it's fun. I like two gritty teams.
They're just going to... I said whoever of the Heat and Sixers lose, they're not going to want smoke with the Bulls. Now the Heat without Jimmy Butler, the Heat still favored, by the way.
Wow, without Jimmy Butler?
That's one of those ones that feels like a trap to me. That makes me think the Heat are going to win.
Yeah, but then the Heat, they just keep winning.
They just figure it out, dude.
They do. They are one of the great franchises in NBA history.
I'm so convinced the Bulls are going to win tonight.
Mm?
And the Heat are going to win by like 20.
Okay.
And everybody's going to go, wow, Eric Spoelstra, how can you count out the Heat? Can the Heat upset the Celtics without Jimmy Butler?
No. I can tell you, it would help the Kings if the Heat lose.
How so?
Because that would, if the Heat lose and somehow the Kings lose, that would put the Kings, the Warriors, and the Heat all tied for the 12, 13, and 14
in
spot
the
in the draft lottery.
Okay.
Which would mean there would be a bunch of coin flips, right? So
okay.
That's how that works. There would be coin flips, and it would at least give the Kings a chance to move up to number 12.
Whereas if the Heat win, the Bulls just go above them.
Yeah, so if the
Got
Heat
it.
Win,
okay.
The Bulls have a worse record than the Kings. They drop down to number 12 or number 13 or number 11, whatever it is they're going to be. But the Kings would bounce back. So, and then it would be like a two-team coin flip between the Kings and the Warriors for the 13 and 14 spot. That's, again, if the Kings lose.
If they lose.
Yeah.
Which you think they're going to.
No, I'm just saying.
Speaking of D'Lo and KC, by the way, you're getting hyped for this Kings game tonight.
Yep.
There's not going to be a better spot to do it than Sky River Casino.
That's right.
32 Brew Street. You walk in the door of Sky River and you hang a right. It is right there. You can't miss it. They're going to have a live show noon to 4. And then I'm sure people will hang out after, but I don't. But noon to 4 is when the live show is. That's when the real party is.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to want to get out there. I'm going to be out there. James is busy. James has work to do. But I don't. So I'm going to be out there. I might have a beer, too.
Oh.
Or two. Or three. TBD. I got to figure out my plans tonight, but I'll be there. I'll have at least a beer.
A beer.
They have a great selection, so I'm going to have to pick one.
Okay.
I usually go track 7.
Last time I was
when
there,
in doubt,
I kept having Guinnesses. That's what I was drinking that
okay.
day. It was St. Patty's Day.
Guinness is fine. Oh, okay. Then, yeah. No. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guinness in the UK, by the way. I can't wait for you to try one. Blows U.S. Guinness out of the water.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I'd always heard that, but I didn't believe it. I was like, oh, please. Like, that's kind of... Dude, it is different.
Yeah. So, like, going to the Czech Republic, and you have Pilsner Urquell there, and it's really good.
Okay.
Here, it's just, like, bad Heineken.
It's Which like, is... I don't want to say anything bad about
it. The second it gets room temperature, you're like, oh!
Oh, no.
What has happened? Yeah,
you
know that Heineken, like...
Oh, the skunky.
Yeah, the skunky. Banky. Yeah, as soon as it gets, like, even remotely close to room temperature,
yeah,
it's
no.
like, it's, you just got to throw it away.
You have to shotgun your Heineken to make sure it's cold. So, yeah, noon to 4 out at Sky River Casino. Make sure to head out. Even if you can only stop by for a few minutes, even if you've never been to a live show before, you don't need tickets. You don't need approval. You just pull up and you're like, yeah, I'm here. And you'll see the stage and you go sit over there and hang out. Come say what's up. And we'll have a great time getting ready for Kings basketball tonight against the Pelicans. And that's what we're going to do now. I have a hard time thinking that in... I don't... this goes back to what we were talking about last segment. I don't think the regular season matchups matter. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not. They have to be at least a little informative for sure. But last year, the Kings were 2-1 against this Pelicans team. Granted, without Zion.
Mm-hmm.
But they were 2-1 against the Pelicans with 15 and 18 point wins. They also lost one by 32. But this isn't one of those deals where, like, the Warriors, I think, have lost 15 straight to the Nuggets. I think it's that many.
Ooh.
It's some insane number that they've lost to the Nuggets. That's just the Nuggets. The Warriors aren't beating them. They're just a bad matchup, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Year in and year out, Golden State has trouble beating Denver.
It's like the Kings against the Bucks or the Kings against the Celtics.
Yeah, for just have a really hard time year in and year out beating this team. This is not that. The Pelicans haven't won 10 straight against the Kings, and we're going into this one like, I don't know what they do. Granted, the team's different. Both teams are a little different. And I think, though, that 2-1 last year is informative in that it's not this beast that the Kings haven't been able to overcome for years. It's like, yeah, hey, they've had some hiccups this year. It's a little bit of trouble, but there's recent history they can look at of beating this very same team.
Yeah, my only concern is that when you played them, like, you had an opportunity to sort of reset the season.
Yeah.
And you still couldn't get over on them.
Yeah,
that's fair. And that's a problem that I kind of look at. But again, like, this team, this Pelicans team, they haven't won anything. Like, last year, they lost the play-in game, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is a team that's like a refined team that, you know, the year before they lost the Western Conference, they lost in round one, but they were a 36 and 46 team,
mm-hmm.
somehow making the playoffs, and they lost in to the Suns 4-2. So it's not like this team is just seasoned and, like, they know what they're doing and they've got your number, and, you know, this is going to be one of those, like, marching games where the Kings are in just a bunch of trouble. Overall, like, I don't know what to make of them. I don't know why the Kings have had... I mean, I get why the Kings have had a tough time because of the length and athleticism.
Sure.
But, like, you take away Zion from that team and you shouldn't have that big of a deal. It's not like the guys that they have... The length and athleticism guys that they have are, like, super forceful players.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking
about. So this isn't Kawhi Leonard. This isn't Paul George. These are, like, you know, Murphy's a really nice player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a sleight of frame guy that can get pushed around. Brandon Ingram, when he's right, is, you know, can be an electric scorer, but he really hasn't been that for a while. He hasn't had a great season, and he's kind of beat up, and... I don't know, man. To me, this team does have a shot. The Kings have a shot, and I'm just, like, intrigued to sit back and watch it.
In that game you were talking about a week ago, April 18th, almost exactly a week ago, Trey Murphy III started with no Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
He goes for 27 points on 6 of 12 shooting. He played 45 minutes in that one.
Whew.
CJ McCollum, 9 of 12. Granted, he did that all year against the Kings. We'll discuss that a little deeper later on. But 31 points for him, 7 assists. You had 13 and 10 for Jonas Valanciunas. Zion had 31. Jose Alvarado, 14 off the bench. Dyson Daniels added 10. He went 2 of 5 from beyond the arc.
Mm.
And on the Kings side, De'Aaron had 33. Keegan had 19, 5 of 10 from 3. Harrison Barnes had 22 in that one. Sabonis, 18 and 10. Keon Ellis struggled. But my point is it's not like the Pelicans were doing stuff, because that's the thing we always talk about is their defense. Oh, they're so the range of their defense is so tough.
Yeah.
It's not like the Kings couldn't score. Man, the Pelicans just hit a ton of shots.
Yep.
They hit a ton of threes. And, hey, that happens sometimes. The Kings were better at defending the three down the stretch. And good enough that I look at that game and go, yeah, you know what? Maybe a little bit of a one-off. CJ McCollum, on a night-in, night-out basis, he's probably not going, probably, maybe, although he hates the Kings, probably not going to hit 9 and 12.
Yeah.
Trey Murphy, probably not going to kill you for 45 minutes. Again, good player. Really mm-hmm. nice player. I like Trey Murphy a lot. But I don't think he's going to kill you for 45. Like, there's just, so you mentioned they had a chance to kind of get right with this season series, you know, not win it, but get back on track on that April 11th game. I look at that game and I didn't see, man, they just cannot, particularly without Zion Williamson. I didn't see a team the Kings just can't beat. I see a team that hit some shots.
No, I totally agree. But and Kyle, not only did they hit shots, but you have to understand the gravity that Zion plays with.
Yeah. Like,
he crushes your entire defense. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to shrink in, and it leaves these guys wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And you should never leave CJ McCollum open. And there's been a couple of times this season where CJ just like started hitting shots that had no business going in.
Ridiculous.
And he beat the Kings just like almost single-handedly with mm-hmm. some ridiculous shots. But the fact that Zion draws everything to him, the players that they have are just not so good offensively that you can't stop them man on man.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that you take away Zion and that team just looks a lot different. And the Kings can try zones. They can try to mix things up. They can, you know, if CJ starts to get hot, they can try to send a second body at him. If mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram gets hot, you can start to send a second body at him. But not having Zion to me is like the biggest thing for the Kings that's going for the Kings in this. And, you know, it's kind of a bummer you don't get to see them at full strength. But at the same time, like, this is who they've been the last like 5 years with Zion. Like, that's when you draft a player like this, it gets hurt all the time. Right. You got to kind of bank on him getting hurt. And like, to be honest with you, I Brandon Ingram just isn't the same player right now that he was. I mean, he just missed a whole bunch of games. What are we looking at? Like, he missed 11 games or so.
Mm-hmm.
He came back against the Lakers, and he looked okay in game 82.
Mm-hmm.
But the play-in game, he didn't look okay.
Yeah.
And so what does he look like? Because if he doesn't look like himself and Zion's not there, then what are we talking about here?
You're starting to come around.
Well,
you're starting to come around. We got a break. We're going to keep talking about this. We'll be back in a minute on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nine.
Now, Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Just because it's a big day for the Kings doesn't mean we're not giving away $500. We're still going to do that later on in the show. We have a winner from yesterday. We will have $500 to give away to you today. And then we will continue giving away $500 next week. Keep listening in. We will give you a keyword that you can go enter at ESPN1320.com as part of the Nothing But Net giveaway. And then later on in the afternoon, D'Lo and Casey will also give you a keyword that you can go enter for a second chance to win $500.
Nice.
Hell yeah. We were talking about Brandon Ingram going into the break. And he's an interesting player because he's one of those guys that every time I'm like, I'm kind of out on Brandon Ingram as a star.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go have a really, really good stretch and look like a star. But he has not developed the kind of reputation for me yet that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to count on Brandon Ingram to go get 35 tonight. I'm just not, he might, like he definitely could. If he came from the future and told me Brandon Ingram dropped 40, I'd be like, oh yeah, no, he's capable of that for sure. But I don't, if it was Dame Lillard, I'd be like, well, you're getting 30 or 40 from Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Just, or Steph Curry or whoever, pick Joel Embiid, whatever. You know you're going to get a huge game from this guy. But I'm not there with B.I., man. I just can't get there. A really, really talented player. Scary for sure, like in theory. But I'm not ready to go. The Kings need to game plan everything around stopping Brandon Ingram.
No, for me,
I don't see it, man.
It's you can't let CJ go nuts. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the guy you have to look out for in this game. Like CJ is the one who's hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like there's a point where Brandon Ingram has hurt the Kings too, where the Kings have no answer for Brandon Ingram.
For sure. Well, and that's if Brandon Ingram's going to get rolling, if he has this quote unquote get right game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Kings do about it.
Well, you throw Keegan on him.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's just he's one of those players that has a build that it's like, man, when he's really going, there's just not a lot you can do about it.
Yeah. No, I agree, but the fact that I don't know when the last time it was he was that player. And you know, he just
against the Kings at one point this year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like over the last like month and a half, he hasn't been that player.
He hasn't even been playing.
No, I mean, he missed 11 games, 11 or 12 games, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the games before that, he wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, either hasn't played or has played marginal basketball in like the last quarter of the season. And so, like, again, I think he's a scary player, but I also think that they have some other guys that kind of step into that role and can hurt you. You know, I know the Kings dared Dyson Daniels to beat them last time. And he did. He missed a bunch of shots, but then in crunch time, he actually hit the big three. He hit one of the threes that hurt you. And again, I think that they're going to have moments where, you know, they're not going to leave Trey Murphy. At least they shouldn't. But but Herb Williams is a guy that sneaks up and beats you with weird buckets here and there.
Herb Jones?
Yeah, Herb Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the same with Jose Alvarado, you know?
Sure.
We had that play in the last game where Alvarado chased down a ball in the corner right next to their bench and didn't even have any space and just throws up a three from like while falling out of bounds and nothing but net, like in transition.
And that's the kind of thing that's fake to me.
Yeah.
Like that's not a sustainable thing.
But he does it every game. Alvarado, nothing he does is sustainable except for it is.
I'm not doing this. I'm not calling Brandon Ingram a fraud.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh?
When do you think the last time Brandon Ingram scored 30 points was?
January.
No, not that far.
It's not that far?
It's March 1st. Against Indiana.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
He scored 34. The time before that he scored 30?
Yeah.
February 28th, he scored 30 exactly, also against Indiana. You want to keep going up? Do you want to know the next time he did it?
Yeah.
February 5th, do you want to know who the opponent was?
Indiana.
Toronto.
Oh.
Hang on, let's keep going.
Oh,
let's keep
going.
And there's good, and this is why he's not a fraud. There's actual good games there. He had 28 in Boston. He had 26 in Milwaukee. He's had some legitimately really. He had 30 against the Kings. In fact, let's keep going up. Let's find another 30-point game for Brandon Ingram. Oh, I found one. We got to go all the way to December 19th. Brandon Ingram scored 34 against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh.
And again, they lost, by the way. And then we're going to go up a couple. Hey, here's a 40 burger.
Yeah.
40 piece? 40 piece. Against?
I don't know.
Take a guess. Just guess a team.
Washington.
Washington! Hey, you nailed it! Nice job! In 40 against the Washington Wizards on December 13th. Now we're going to go up and we're going to see Sacramento. He had 30 against Sacramento. Now, again, this is December 4th. This is against the version of the Sacramento Kings that couldn't get a stop.
Mm-hmm.
He had 30 in that one. Let's keep on going up. Here's 30 against the Clippers. That's legit. Early in the season, he was good.
He was good early in the season, but I don't think he's been...
30 against the Clippers, 31 against Sacramento, 30 against Minnesota.
You know what, Kyle, though? A little bit of this, I would say, is going to be the emergence of a guy like Trey Murphy.
Yeah.
It is. Some of that, it takes away from what he's doing just because he's just not going to get as much of an opportunity.
Well, and but no, you're right. That hits the nail on the head. But that's exactly why I'm not sitting here going like, oh man, I'm terrified of Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Because he's not a player that they're going to be like, yeah, hey, go cook. Go shoot it 30 times. They have other pieces. They have other peripheral pieces that... Are you more worried about Brandon Ingram scoring 30 or Trey Murphy going 12 of 18 from three?
Yeah, probably Trey.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, again, I know that's a super outlier game, but that's the kind of thing that worries me in this one way more than, oh, Brandon Ingram, watch out. He's going to get right eventually. I don't know that he is.
I'd even tell you, this is a weird stat that I'm stumbling upon while looking through some of their advanced stuff. In wins this season, right? So 35 games, Trey Murphy started 15 of these. We're talking about wins for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Murphy is a 132 offensive rating, 110 defensive rating. He shoots 47% from the field. He shoots 40% from three.
This is a starter?
This is in 35 games that they've won with him playing. At 15 of those,
okay,
he started.
Oh, got it. Okay.
17 points, 5 rebounds, whatever. In 22 games, 8 of which he started, these are losses. Trey Murphy shoots 38.3% from the field, 32.8% from three. His offensive rating is a 110, down 22 from him in their wins. And he's a 121 defensive rating. He drops to 11 points per game. So maybe that is, if Trey Murphy isn't the guy, then maybe if you can take him away, maybe you beat them. I don't know. I'm not leaving him open, because that's what I've seen too many times this year, is the Kings leave him wide open. And every time you leave him wide open, he just puts the ball right in the basket.
He shot 46-80 against the Kings this year.
50-46-80. Oof.
And averaged 18-3-3.
Yeah.
33 minutes a night.
But again, most of those games, not all of them, most of those came playing alongside Zion.
Yeah.
And Zion just draws so much of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget about him. You get so concentrated on trying to stop Brandon Ingram, then Zion, then CJ, that he's the fourth guy, and he lights you up. So
Trey Murphy only played in 3 games against the Kings this year.
Oh, really?
That's weird.
Okay.
Is that right?
That
doesn't feel right to me. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it says 3 games. 2 as a starter.
Huh.
Yeah, he was hurt early in the season. Yeah,
that's right. He missed the 2 in November. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 of 8, 3 of 6, 6 of 12.
He's a talent, man.
He's a really good player.
They just keep finding guys that make sense. And so for every guy they find, like Trey Murphy, they find a guy like Herb Jones.
Do you know what Herb Jones is shooting from 3 this year?
Is it 40?
41.8. 33.7 his first season, 33.5 his second season, 41.8 this year on a career high 3.6 attempts a game.
He's an elite role player.
And that's the other, and we'll talk about keys to victory a little bit later on. But as you know, we talk about Brandon Ingram and Trey Murphy and CJ McCollum and this and that. The bottom line is, we talk about this all the time with the Kings, is you want to have the best player on the court in these games. And to me, De'Aaron Fox is the best player on the court tonight by kind of a comfortable margin.
Mm, I mean, he should be. But the way that they played CJ McCollum.
Let me rephrase this. If you are ranking the players going into this game,
mm-hmm.
is there any argument that De'Aaron Fox isn't the best player?
No, coming into the game? You're probably right. Yeah, that's more the All-NBA player. No one else has been an All-NBA player on that team.
Domas, outside of Domas, but on the Pelicans.
Oh, on the Pelicans. I don't think that's disrespect.
Let me get to my point real quick, if I can get there. That to me is where I have a little more confidence in the Kings going into this game because of what you just said. Herb Jones, elite role guy.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Murphy, elite role guy. Jonas Valanciunas, really good role guy. Larry Nance Jr., don't ask. I don't know. I got nothing for you. But all these, even CJ McCollum, for his entire career in Portland, was an elite role guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was a two behind Damian Lillard for sure. I think he was a little bit miscast there, but he's their 1A, and I don't think he can be that in a game like this. I don't.
It just to me, it really depends.
But again, he kills the Kings.
What CJ does, I mean, if you can, even if CJ has a huge game. You can't have Ingram and Murphy have huge games. Like, you have to limit the damage from others. Somebody is going to score for you. You can pick your poison. And I think if I'm Mike Brown, I might leave CJ man on with Keon Ellis as much as possible the entire game. And if CJ's busting him up, I might switch out and give him a different look, you know, mm-hmm. go for Davion for a few minutes, go to De'Aaron for a few minutes. But mm-hmm. But realistically, I'm not going to send two guys at him because what I don't want to do is have Herb Jones heat up and I don't want to have Trey Murphy heat up. Now, if Dyson Daniels is going to beat you, I think you're okay with that. If Valanciunas for some reason is out on the perimeter and is going to beat you, Nance, whatever, I think that that's where the Kings are going to push them.
Yeah.
Is to force those guys. So maybe they will hedge. Maybe they will send a second body at CJ McCollum to get the ball out of his hands,
mm-hmm.
but you can't leave Trey. And that's the guy to me that he has the potential to go for 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else does. Like, I think Herb Jones can get you 20, but like taking that next step, would he ever be someone who independently without just like getting left wide open and hitting a bunch of shots
right.
can go for 30? And then of course Ingram, but just the way Ingram's been playing, I don't know that Ingram is that guy right now. Like, it's not like I don't think he can be that player again, but as of today, Brandon Ingram hasn't been that player.
You know, you mentioned earlier you put Keegan on Brandon Ingram, and that to me is a matchup to watch.
Yeah.
Because if Brandon Ingram winds up having a huge game and Keegan Murray comes down a little bit from his performance on Tuesday, and you're in some trouble. Yeah. But vice versa, too. If Keegan Murray is going to go for 25 and Brandon Ingram is going to give him 12, I think the Kings are in a really good spot. And you mentioned earlier you put Keegan on Ingram, and I was trying to figure out a way that you could put Keegan on CJ McCollum the way they did in the first half, or a lot of the first half, with the Warriors and Steph. But I don't think you can do that. Because I don't think they have another body that can guard Brandon Ingram.
No, I mean, look, I think we're going to know pretty quick in the game whether Brandon Ingram is like the Brandon Ingram B.I.
Yeah.
Or whether he's some random dude.
Yeah.
And if he's some random dude, that's where I think with Ingram, what you might do if you're Mike Brown, you might start Harrison Barnes on him and say, okay, who is he tonight? Right?
Mm.
And if I can get Harrison Barnes to bully him a little bit and just keep him away, keep him out of the key, and kind of, you know, shove him around a little bit and then take him to task on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get that, that would allow you to have, you know, Keegan on Trey Murphy or again, Keegan on, you can put Keegan on like McCollum.
I was going to say, I feel like putting him on McCollum is the move because at least to start. And again, like you said, you got to throw different looks at him and you can't run the same defense over and over and expect to have success against a vet like CJ McCollum, who's as accomplished as he is. But I think you put Keegan there because, okay, you have Keon on Herb Jones. And that's a size mismatch for sure, but is that something that Herb Jones has the skill set to take advantage of? Outside of just shooting over him?
No.
That doesn't worry me that much.
No. Like Herb Jones does go baseline and like mm-hmm. he gets loose on the break. Yeah, and he does hit the corner three.
But no, for sure, but I don't okay, so he puts the ball on the deck and wants to go baseline. I don't think that's a matchup that Keon just can't handle.
No, I think he'd be fine. No. I think you could totally neutralize, but I don't want to waste Keon Ellis on Herb Jones.
Yeah, not the whole game, for sure. But yeah. I'm trying to figure out ways in my mind that you can get Keegan Murray on CJ McCollum without it being a disaster elsewhere where they can just go matchup hunting.
Well, no, because if they decide to try to feature Trey Murphy as like an offensive threat who's not just a catch and shoot three guy,
mm-hmm.
and you put De'Aaron Fox on him, De'Aaron Fox is going to treat him just like he did Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take the ball from him like three or four times.
Yeah. Murphy's taller, but that doesn't mean De'Aaron can't guard him.
No, De'Aaron can guard him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why, again, I think De'Aaron can guard up. I think Keon can guard up, but somebody's got to stop CJ.
Yeah.
Or Sloan.
Good point. You know what's funny about this is we're having this conversation about all these perimeter guys, and then I feel like Domas and Jonas Valanciunas are just over here doing Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, totally.
Just by themselves. Like, boof, 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 yeah. Boof, boof. Like, those guys are going to beat the hell out of each other for 48 minutes. Okay, now back to this.
Yeah, and I think...
That to me... Go ahead, sorry.
If they're going away from Valanciunas, if they do pull the plug on Valanciunas, because I think, again, without Zion, Valanciunas looks like very mortal.
Yeah.
Right? It's mm-hmm. even last time they started the game with Sabonis defending Zion and with Harrison Barnes on Valanciunas. And Valanciunas busted you up a little bit, but not a ton. Mm-hmm. What did he finish with, like 14 points, something like that? It wasn't something so dramatic, but he's a big body that crashes a glass and everything else. I think the Kings, if Sabonis and Valanciunas are matched up against each other, you could see Sabonis like have a night, and he has had a night against Valanciunas plenty of times. Yeah. Now they're friends; they know each other extremely well. They're on the Lithuanian national team together, mm-hmm. sort of like big brother, little brother stuff there. But this is a player who, you know, again, he can make life difficult. I just don't see where like Nance is going to be able to stop Sabonis at all.
Like, yeah,
that's fine. Go ahead and go to Nance. If you're going to go to Nance against Sabonis,
yeah,
he's going to big body you all the way to the basket.
I think if you're putting Larry Nance in one-on-one against Sabonis, that means you're throwing a lot of help at him.
Yeah.
And hoping that you can get the Kings to miss some threes and then take advantage on the offensive end with more athleticism and stuff, but I don't know if I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't love that idea.
No.
I don't know if Larry Nance is good, man. He's been in the league for like a decade.
Is this what you're going to tell your child if you ever have him? I don't know if he's any good. I don't know.
Yeah, bro. Like, is Larry Nance good? Meh. Yeah, he's fine. He had a nice run. He's been in the league for 10 years. Check that. 9 years.
That's a lot of money he's getting in retirement.
Dude, he's good. He's a solid NBA player.
Yeah.
Averaged 23 minutes a game for his entire career. He's played 522 games.
That's crazy.
Averages 7-7-2. 7-6-2, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that he's never advanced as a player. Yeah, so, like, I don't really... Does he even shoot threes?
You know what's funny? You say he's never advanced as a player. Rookie year with the Lakers. 63 games, 22 starts. He played 20 minutes a night. 5.5 points, 5 rebounds, 0.7 assists. This year, 61 games for the Pelicans. Played 20 minutes a night. 5.7 points, 5 rebounds, 1.9 assists.
Same dude.
He's passing a little better, and he's more efficient. He shot 57.3% from the field as opposed to 52.7% as a rookie, but he also took fewer shots.
He did shoot 41.5% from three this year on 1.1 shots per game.
Watch out.
Some
Watch out.
Sabonis type.
He's just good. Dude, he's just a solid bench guy.
Yeah, just
rock solid bench guy.
Yeah, just run of the mill, dude.
Yeah.
But he's 6'8". He's not going
to
be able
to. Valanciunas is the kind of guy to me where, you know, we talk about it all the time with Domas. Like, oh, I want to see him take over a game, and I want to see him score more offensively. I want to see him be there in crunch time. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in a matchup with Valanciunas, the value is like be a little better. Mm. Just I don't need Domas tonight for all the things we've talked about, I'm going to let him stop playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots over there, and I'm going to bring him in here to the discussion. I don't need 25 and 18 from Domas to be like, yeah, hell yeah. It'd be great. You'd love to see it.
Yep.
But I don't need that tonight. Can you get 15 and 13 from Domas, 18 and 13 from Domas?
Yeah, I would say even 18 and 18 or 18 and 16. He needs to be able to get through Valanciunas and dominate the glass, because that's one problem he does have against Valanciunas.
Sure. But follow me here.
Yep.
So what did I say? 18 and 13?
Yep.
That's Valanciunas' year against the Kings. 13 and 10, 15 and 12, 18 and 11, 15 and 11, 10 and 13. Like, you just need to be better. Just be the better of those two players.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I need. Just outplay him. And I think he has for the most part this year. And I'm not super worried about it. But to your point, if all of a sudden there's some world where Valanciunas starts, what's his career or his high in field goal attempts against the Kings this year? 11. If he takes 15 shots and he's going 12 of 15, now all of a sudden you have a problem.
Yeah. So again, this
just
is...
play him to a little bit better than neutral.
Totally. But this is what I don't like. It's that in their matchups, Sabonis with 10 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 13 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 10 rebounds. Sabonis has to be a better rebounder against his team. And that's where I do think that Valanciunas does does sort of manhandle him on the glass.
Yeah. Maybe if Harrison Barnes can get active, I don't know.
Just throw Harrison Barnes.
Just throwing a name out there. Harrison Barnes.
I think it's funny. We talk about all the matchups that, you know, the Kings are going to struggle with on one end.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, like, who exactly is CJ McCollum going to defend? And it's probably going to be Keon. But, man, if Keon keeps playing aggressive, if Keon keeps shooting the three ball, I think they're going to sag off and they're going to let Keon have his way if that's what happens. And I think Keon can beat you. It's interesting.
Dude, so the same way, you know what's funny is in New Orleans right now, they're probably talking the same way you and I were like, yeah, and if Dyson Daniels is going to hit a bunch of threes, then you live with it.
Yeah.
Or if Jonas Valanciunas is going to step out and hit a bunch of mid-range jumpers, you live with it. In New Orleans right now, they're probably sitting there going, and if Keon Ellis is going to stand over there and hit a bunch of threes, you live with it. It's probably the same view they're taking. But we've seen him do it.
Yeah.
We've seen him go, what was he, 8 of 15?
Yeah.
In the...
What was that? That's a game. Yes. Yeah.
No, they won. It was a game they won. I can't remember. Anyways, whatever game it was, he went 8 of 15. And that's where I think he had 5 points in their last loss against the Pels.
Yeah, but did he shoot a bunch or did he just go quiet?
No, he didn't. He was very, very passive.
Yeah.
Five field goals. 2 for 5, 1 of 3 from three, 1 rebound, no assists. 5 points. He was a -5 in 23 minutes. Mm. Like, I don't think you're getting that from Keon again tonight.
Okay.
I don't. And if they do, then you're in a tough spot. Because I think you need a very similar game on both ends of the floor, and you need a very similar game than the one you got against the Warriors. And maybe the starters are a tiny bit worse and your bench is a tiny bit better.
Yeah.
But overall, I think you need a very similar game.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk about the other play-in matchup, which we have today on ESPN 1320 starting at 4:00. That's right after D'Lo and Casey's live show, which is out there at Sky River Casino inside 32 Brew Street from noon to 4. So come out, eat, drink, talk sports, get ready for a huge Kings game tonight. We will continue doing that in the second hour. We're going to give away $500, and I'm going to tell you why I think we're going to continue telling you why I think the Kings are going to win tonight, and I'm going to continue trying to convince James. And hopefully, if you don't think they're going to win, hopefully I can try and convince you too, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend.
My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.